Coronado!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Heward, not exactly Joe Capp there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Here on 710 Seattle Sports. That's where we are, seattlesports.com and the Seattle Sports application. It's a formal Friday, whether it feels like one or not. It is, I promise, a formal Friday. It's the day after the first round of the draft. Our questions were answered last night, finally. I really expected that they were going to trade down. Wasn't that your expectation while they were on the clock? Watching last night, right, and all six of the quarterbacks go and none of the defensive players other than Latu, and you're like, okay, well, they probably didn't even have Latu on their board. That's kind of how Brock was talking about it. And you're like, okay, everyone we've talked about, everyone is open to them, right? If they want to go defense, they can go Byron Murphy. They can go Jared Verse. They can go Jerzon Newton. They can go, I mean, like all of those options were available to them. The stupid cornerback idea was available to them. Troy Fautanu was available to them. You're like, okay, they could do a lot of different things here. They'll probably trade back. And instead, they take Byron Murphy. I was a little surprised. I thought they were either going to trade back there or that they were going to take Fautanu. That was just sort of my gut feeling. Like, okay, after all this, they're just going to take the offensive lineman. It's just what makes the most sense. It makes me wonder, because Troy didn't go until, 20, something like that, to Pittsburgh. It does make me wonder if that medical report that Breer had just in the last day or two was real. Because he's such a good fit here. And that's not to say that Murphy's not. But it makes me wonder where if you are looking at the two guys and you're like, man, they're both awesome. I really like Fautanu. I really like Murphy. Why do you choose Murphy over Fautanu when arguably you have more defensive line, assets on your roster than you do offensive line? I think that's got to be the answer is, hey, if push comes to shove and you've got to make a determination between two people, yeah, love them both. But this is one, minus on one cheat that's not on the other. So let's go with the defensive lineman. And if you're looking between Murphy and Verse in that spot, and maybe they are, and we're going to get a lot of opportunities to see whether or not Jared Verse is a better player or not, because he's going to be right here in the division playing for the Rams, coming after your quarterback every single Sunday and setting an edge in L.A. So you're going to get to know Jared Verse very, very well.
I knew you weren't going to like that one.
Well, I didn't, although I love whenever there's like a clear choice and then you can kind of look at both roads, the road you went down and the road you decided not to, right? Patrick Queen versus Jordan Brooks, right? Anytime you've got that, like, well, you could have done this, you could have done that. Well, all right, what does that look like? And you can just kind of follow it moving forward. All right, so Jared Verse, you're going to get a chance to see. Why do you take an interior lineman over Jared Verse? A, they're harder to find, right? It's just harder to find guys that can dominate up front. And B, I'm going to guess they just think he's a better player. They just like the player better. There's some questions. There's no doubt, right? Everyone's going to mention he doesn't have ideal length. Neither do I. Like, I'm right there for you. Like, that's cool. You don't need ideal length.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah. So I feel like he and I have a lot in common. We both have that, neck tattoo right down the throat, right over our Adam's apple. How tough do you have to be to get a tattoo on your Adam's apple?
Brutal, brutal spot.
Chosen one right there on his throat?
And not just like it's all colored in red.
Whew.
Ugh, I just imagine that feeling of the going back and forth on your esophagus.
Really painful. Incredibly painful.
Tough spot.
So tough dude, man. Like, that's all I need to know, that he's a tough dude for sure. And, Brock, I don't know how many times can we take an over under count today on how many times Brock will use the word ball of muscle or muscle bound? Because every single time I've ever heard him talk about Byron Murphy, he's used one of those two phrases, mm-hmm. Ball of muscle or muscle bound. So I'm sure that's coming. And overall, no complaints. Is it the pick I would have made there? No, probably not. Am I upset about it in any way? No. Am I disappointed? No. Do I like it? Yes. Flat yes. It was one of three picks they could have made in that spot where I would have said, yeah, makes perfect sense. So anyway, great job by John Schneider. We will talk a little bit about the Mariners today as they win the series in Texas. I don't want to give them short shrift after doing what they were supposed to do, going down and winning a series after everyone, you know, thought that they weren't going to do that. So good on them.
JP goes down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty impressive little series win for them down there. And their pitching showed up and did exactly what it was supposed to. So, yeah, I think that's worthy of a little conversation. We'll dig into it and need to know in just a moment or two. But I'm going to guess that there are a couple of folks who are interested in what happened before the draft
yesterday.
The big race.
Oh, the big race.
Oh, the big race.
Yes.
I can't believe the amount of texts we're getting. Like, nobody cares about the draft. Who won the race?
A lot of texters saying Salk must have lost because he's not started by talking about the race. Here's what I would say.
Did you race? Did it get rained out?
We did race. It did not get rained out. It probably should have been. It was terrible. Can we both agree it was awful?
Yeah, I think I ruined my shoes.
It was miserable. Yeah. It was wet.
We couldn't use the drone.
Was sopping. Like, one step onto the track soaked your entire foot. It was terrible, terrible weather, and it was cold.
Yeah.
I guess what I would say is everybody lost. I think that's the best way of...
Are we waiting to actually say what happened until Brock gets here?
You want to? You want to wait until 7?
I wasn't sure. You weren't saying, so I didn't know.
No, I'll tell the people. We all lost. okay. I think we're both a little ashamed today. We're both a little embarrassed. I don't think anybody feels as if they really came out on top. So here's how it went down. I'll give you guys a two-minute story. And then we're going to take your phone calls at 6:30 on the draft. So huge amount of draft talk going on at 6:30. We're just going to take your calls on whether or not you like the pick, if that's what you want, or if you want to do something else. So we get out there on the starting blocks, and you'll see the video. It's going up on the YouTube page at 9 o'clock, Seattle Sports YouTube page.
Yeah, go subscribe so you get the notification.
We take off running, and Maura was up ahead because she was in lane 3. I was in lane 2. Lane 1 was so wet, we couldn't even use it. And so Maura takes off, and I would say in like the first 15 steps, I had caught her. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't feel like I was running that hard. So I was like, oh, geez, this is going to be a blowout. This is tough. So I'm running, not full speed, but running. And running pretty hard. Like, not sprinting full out like everything I have.
I saw your face.
But I was running hard. I was running hard. But still enough to, like, kind of look at the guy, the camera as it went by, and give a little point. Like, I was aware of what was going on in the world.
A little foreshadowing.
And so we get to the straightaway, and I don't know, maybe we get 75 yards left, 80 yards left. I'm like, okay, I'm going to win this race. I feel very confident in this at this point. And so now I'm like, I'm going to turn it on because that was my plan all along. It's like, really, my plan was to sort of stalk Maura at the, like, on the track and then try to, you know, gun it at the end if I needed to and go by her. That was my plan. Well, I'm up ahead and I was like, all right, well, so I might as well still open it up here and see what happens when you let the race car, you know, really breathe.
Yeah, this is a good time here.
So with about
what happens?
About 50 or 60 meters left to go. Would you say that's right? Maybe 70 meters left to go. Be interesting to get an exact number. The hammy popped. My left hamstring felt the pop. Never felt it in my life. Never had that experience in my whole life. The hamstring popped. I heard it. I felt it. I grabbed for it. You'll see in the video, I look as if somebody has shot me in the leg. I grab for my hamstring. Now, I keep going. I'm limping. I'm reaching for it, but I'm looking to my right to see how far back. When I think I can still get there. And it was all said and done. I did win the race. But
he had enough of a lead on me that he still, I couldn't figure out what was going on. Yeah. I thought you were messing with me. Like, no. Oh, look, Maura, you still have a shot. And
look,
I was like,
I'm hurt.
I was mad. And then he was like, no, I'm really.
Faster than fast, quicker than quick.
Nope.
I am lightning.
Now, I would have had a really good time. I honestly think I was going to do it in about 33 seconds. I ended up finishing at 37.
Or 35, maybe, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I finished in 37.
37 something.
Maura finished in, what was it, 38? 38 and a half, something like that. Yeah. And
you were 37:46. I was 38:50.
Okay. So it was a little over a second difference. And
Yeah, so I did pull my hamstring. I've been icing it nonstop ever since. I am in a significant amount of pain. I don't think that it's like torn off the bone, grade 3 or anything like that. But yes, it hurts.
Enough that
I paid
like,
for it.
Brock was trying to like mess with you afterwards, and you were like, out. Get away from me.
Well, I also did throw the, I did do the Cam Newton. I wanted to do the Cam Newton Michael Penix and take my towel and put it over my head because I thought that would be funny.
Limped out of there.
But also, I really didn't want Brock to touch me. Like, I was in pain. Like, the why, knowing Brock and his giant hands and the way he likes to get too physical in places you don't want him, like, yeah, get away from me. Don't touch me. I was in legit pain. I still am.
Well, can I just say, you were going on and on about all these people doubting you all week and how that doesn't feel great. But it also doesn't feel great to have everyone believe in you and let them down. So I'm sorry. I never said that I was fast for the record. I just thought I was faster than Salk.
And what do you say today?
You're faster than I expected, sir. Congratulations.
Well, I don't.
Credit to you.
Thank you. I will say that while I feel faster, I also feel older. I think that's really what we all learned today. The speed, just fine. The athleticism, okay. The age, problematic.
You might have outrun your body.
So we all lost. Maura lost the race in embarrassing fashion, and I limped home in even more embarrassing fashion. So how about that? A all-around L for everybody on the Brock and Salk team yesterday.
Yeah, when you watch the end, I look like I'm jogging, and I swear, I had no gas. I tried.
Maura had nothing left. All right, I'm going to go walk to the freezer. I have an ice pack with me. I got to go grab it for the next segment. It's like 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off. So I got to go grab the ice pack. I'll hold it up for you guys so you know it's real. And we'll be right back with Need to Know. It's Brock and Salk. CL Sports on 710CLSports.com.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Cantor Diamond, 4 generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
Massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, if you say you want to be all about the line of scrimmage, you know what you got to do? Spend your resources accordingly. And that's exactly what the Seahawks did yesterday. They stay at number 16 and draft the second defensive player in this draft. First interior D lineman, by now you know.
With the 16th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
The people in Detroit don't care. I looked for analysis of it later to see whether anybody thought it was a good or bad pick, and essentially everybody didn't say anything about it. So I think it was just one of those spot-on picks. It's just what you do in that spot. And they could have gone him. They could have gone with Fautanu. Maybe they could have gone with Verse. This was the guy they liked best, and here's why, according to the new coach.
There's a lot. He just plays our style of football, really. I mean, and he's so talented. Versatility along the front. Plays such an aggressive player, plays violently, heavy hands for a guy like shorter stature, flexible, pass rush flexibility, you name it. But yeah, just really excited to have him.
Yeah, they were, I think, mostly shocked that he was even there. They didn't think he was going to be there. They didn't talk to him ahead of time, not believing that he would be there. They thought about trading down.
I'd be lying to you if I said we didn't think about it, but the player was, you know, too, he was just too good, you know. He influences the game, like, a lot.
Now, there are some questions. Not ideal length. Everyone's going to say that. He wasn't exactly known for his leadership for most of his college career. He didn't maybe have the kind of production you might want. But Dane Brugler compared him to a young Grady Jarrett. So did Jim Nagy. Mark Dominic was certainly a fan. His ability to get into the backfield and wreak havoc. So can't wait to see what this kid looks like. Hoping to talk to him maybe even today. Who knows? But looking forward to hearing what he's got to say and then seeing him on the field this season.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
So what a night for the Huskies, huh? Michael Penix, the shock of the draft, goes 8th overall to Atlanta, despite the new contract they had just handed out to Kirk Cousins for an unimaginable amount of money. So I don't know what the heck's going on in Atlanta. They said no to Bill Belichick, yes to two quarterbacks. I just don't understand. Roma Dunze joining Caleb Williams in Chicago. That's pretty cool. And then the Seahawks did have a shot at Troy Fautanu if they'd wanted him, but he ends up going a few picks later. And he's going to join Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. So yeah, three Huskies taken in the first round. NFC West, Hawks are going to have some nasty dudes to contend with. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be in Arizona, along with Darius Robinson, who is a pass rusher out of Missouri. And then Jared Verse, who was one of my favorites in this draft, he goes to LA to play with the Rams. So yeah, good luck with those guys moving forward. And the Niners, maybe a little bit of a surprise pick. They take wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. And he seems like kind of actually an interesting player, great hands. But, you know, obviously they've got a lot of wide receivers and a lot of speculation now that they will end up trading one of them. And then it might not be Brandon Ayuk, that it might end up being Deebo Samuel, which is all said and done, which would be just fine if you want to move Deebo right on out of this division.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, it's not always pretty and doesn't have to be, but it got the job done. Mariners battled in Texas this week, able to beat the Rangers 2 out of 3 in their own building, where Seattle obviously struggled last year, didn't win a game. For the most part, it was the pitching, but let's throw some love at the third baseman.
Now the 1-0 pitch to Luis. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Langford going back to the warning track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball! Luis Urias with his second home run of the season. Second two-run shot for the Mariners this afternoon, and it's now the Mariners 4 and the Rangers 2.
I don't know whether or not this third base platoon is going to work all year long, but it sure has worked through the first month of this season. It has been one of the biggest success stories for the Mariners. Credit to DePoto. Credit to Scott Servais. They are using these guys and putting them in the best position to succeed. After the first week, they've both played pretty good defense, and they're both starting to hit in their own way. Urias still not getting on base like you would like, but I like that swing, man. I like that pop, and I like the way he attacks the baseball. Luis Castillo, though, was tremendous. Allowed 2 runs in 6 innings. Another quality start for him. And it was not an easy day at the office. He got through it.
When you're a top-end rotation starter in this league, that's how you become that guy. They were really grinding them. They took a lot of edge pitches, close pitches to get the pitch count up. I was concerned, you know, we're maybe only get 5, and he was able to get through the 5th really quick and then very efficient through the 6th as well. The value of that, it just allows you to set your bullpen up and go to your high leverage guys, and those guys were outstanding. So hats off to Rock, and he's rolling. You can see it. He's got the momentum going a little bit. He's making pitches. He's living on the edges. A couple mistakes. You know, they were on him, the home runs today, but other than that, it was really solid.
And hopefully that's not the conveyor belt in the background taking J.P. Crawford away. He's going to miss some time as he hits the IL with an oblique. So could be a few weeks. Rookie Luis Rivas called up in his stead. All right. That's everything you need to know. They got Arizona, by the way, in for 3 starting tonight. Kirby Hancock Gilbert will be your starters in that one. We're going to open up the phones here, right? We have to. Got to open up the phones the next morning. What did you think? Not of the race, but of the pick. What did you think of the draft last night? What stood out to you about what the Seahawks did? Is that what you would have done in
or
that
didn't
moment?
Do. Yeah.
There are some rumors, by the way. Morris sent this over last night. I hadn't seen this. James Palmer, right, from NFL Network.
He just got laid off there. It just says James Palmer TV.
James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network.
Yes.
Tweeted last night that the Seahawks were one of 3 other teams trying to trade up for Michael Penix. Yeah. Would you have wanted them to do that? Do you like what they did? Did you want them to trade back? Would you have liked them to select somebody else? Are you excited about Byron Murphy? 866-979-3776, the phone number. You know how I like the 630 crowd. You got people still going to bed. You got people just waking up early. You got people who are pretty smart, so they got to get to work and kind of get a beat on their day. So I want to hear from you guys. 866-979-3776. What did you make of the Seahawks' first-round draft pick last night? 866-979-3776. Easy question, tough answer next on Brock and Salk.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com. O'Brien.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Massive, the power of pop culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. Planning a trip to Washington? Make sure to include MoPop in your itinerary. Tickets and info at mopop.org.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
What'd you make of the pick? Seahawks select Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, yesterday. Do you like it? Did you want them to go in a different direction? Were you surprised? I don't know why I was surprised, but I was. I certainly can't say I didn't like it. There's no way I could say that. They went with a big fella up front who moves people, who gets into the backfield, who's disruptive at the defensive line position. There's nothing about this pick I don't like. The only thing, like, you know, okay, so I kind of had a little crush on Verse. So, okay, maybe I wanted to be right. That's like the best I could come up with because I like this a lot. Byron Murphy looks awesome. He is a tough dude in the middle who's going to come right after you, sneak into your backfield, disrupt everything. The comparisons, whether it's John Schneider mentioning the name Aaron Donald, and he was quick to say, hey, I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald, but you asked me for a comp. Who is he like? He's got a similar body type and a similar style. Okay, well, that's good to hear. But Grady Jarrett's the other name you hear a lot, and that's a heck of a player, man. That's the type of guy we've talked about for years and said he'd be an excellent fit here in Seattle. So how do you not like it? I like it, for sure. 866-979-3776. Now, maybe you have your heart set on somebody else. Maybe you had fallen in love with Faltano or Verse or one of these other guys. But we don't know everything about them, right? And so what I try to judge is not one player over another because I don't know who's going to be a better player. Almost nobody does, right? I don't know whether Faltano or Verse or any of these guys, Murphy, are going to be the best player when it's all said and done. Latu, who knows? I just look for what does it tell me about the organization and are they functioning the way they should be functioning in building a roster? And spending this kind of an asset on this kind of a pick is smart business in my book.
I want to see the same thing. I want to see that you are going after your stated goals.
Absolutely.
Do that.
And this is it.
Yep.
You want to build a run wall? Here's your run wall. You want to be physical up front? Here's your physical dude up front who's a ball of muscle, as Brock will say over and over again today. All right, let me hit the phones. 866-979-3776. Let me go and start with our guy Austin in Walla Walla. Good morning, Austin. What do we think?
Good morning, Mike. Sorry about your injury there. That's doesn't feel good. I've done that before.
No, so it really hurts. Yeah, pain. Yeah, it's not great. Thank you.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So I think the only thing that really shocked me was that they didn't trade down. For them, having the second defensive player that they could choose any defensive player. There was only one taken, so I am shocked that they didn't. But I'm not shocked that they did go defense. Our run defense was atrocious again last year.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest hole on this team. Because we do have really good – we have a good left tackle, we have a good right tackle. And I think they have a shot still to get some good plug-in players on the O-line in this draft. It's a deep one. So I think they saw that they had the overall best pick of a defensive player at 16 last night, and they couldn't pass it up. So I'm super happy.
God, I got to tell you, I love that analysis, and a lot of it is very similar to what I've written down today. So thank you, Austin. I appreciate it. Okay, so he asked about trading back. Let me address that, because I think it's worth – we have a pretty good idea of what they could have gotten, because the next team after them, Jacksonville, traded back for the 17th pick, right? Here's what they got for 17, and tell me if you would have done roughly this deal. They got, from Minnesota, number 23, so they moved back six spots. I guess in the Seahawks case, that would have been 22, but okay, 23. Plus a fifth rounder this year, which is essentially worthless in this draft that ends after four rounds. And then next year's third and fourth. I mean, I like getting picks for next year. That's great. Next year's third and fourth are basically worth like this year's fourth and fifth. And you are already getting a bunch of extra picks in the mid rounds next year because of the comp stuff. So that's not a deal I would have done. You would have moved from 16 back to the mid 20s like that in order to pick up what, a fifth rounder and two mid round picks next year?
Next year.
No way.
You need help now.
I mean, if you're getting second or third round picks, fine for this year. But for next year, no. That's a no for me, especially because, I don't know, that's a no.
It feels like a punt to me. That feels like we're not trying to compete this year.
That's right. And you're not getting enough back to make it worthwhile. Yeah, I don't think that was a good deal. So if that's roughly what was on the table, I would say John did the right thing. Pull the trigger and get the guy you want. 866-979-3776. Kevin's Golden Gardens. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah. Love the pick. The guy, I know you've watched the film, and the guy is a ball magnet maniac. And that's exactly what Mike McDonald wants. He wants the run wall. This guy is you know, one of the, maybe the first step in getting to that. And the only thing that I'm curious about is the only thing that doesn't seem McDonald-esque about the pick is the leadership piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you could expand on that, because that bothers me a little bit.
Well, I can't. I will ask Brock more about it. All I can tell you is what I read. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the connections at Texas to start asking him about his background. But what I just read that in Dane Brugler's Draft Beast, and Dane does a pretty good job for The Athletic, and he does all that work. And I think the line, it was written under his strengths, but I didn't necessarily take it that way, was that he became more of a leader in his final season with Texas. And I guess there's a positive there that he's growing into it. The other side of it is that may not naturally be who he is and probably isn't going to step in day one as one of the young leaders on this team. That's not necessarily a bad thing, especially for a defensive tackle. Just go out there and knock people over. You know, one of the comps that I think it was Brock made of all people, and I like it a lot, is Brandon Mebane. And, Brandon Mebane was never the best player in the league, but in my view, the unheralded member of the Seahawks championship teams, that everything wouldn't have worked without him. Now, I don't know whether he's as smart as Mebane. We'll find out. Mebane was a smart, instinctive player. Talk to KJ and people who were around Mebane. They'll tell you that he was as smart as anybody on the football field at all times. Just a smart dude in general. I don't know whether that's Byron Murphy or not. We'll get to find out over the course of his career. But body type-wise, stylistically, maybe a little bit of a Brandon Mebane type, which is a great thing to have. I think that's so valuable.
I haven't heard that he was like a bad leader or anything, but I don't think you need him to step in and be a leader, because you have Leonard Williams, Draymond Jones, Chenna Nwosu. The write-up that Steve Sarkisian posted last night on him, he talked about his work ethic, drive, mm-hmm. determination, and coachability. So I don't really think I have any questions about.
Well, I guess it's one of those things where when somebody has leadership, we praise the heck out of it and say, oh, look at this, and he's got this. Yeah. So when you don't have it, it's worth, I think, noting the absence of it.
Is that what Brugler said?
He just said he developed it late.
Okay.
And so to me, that felt a little coded to be like, eh, that's maybe not his game, but he's working on it, which is fine. Again, not a negative, just it's part of the package.
But to me, like, if he has all those characteristics that Sarkisian said, and you've got good leaders around you, he'll be fine, and he'll probably grow into more of a leader, even more of a leader.
Well, we also share something in common, you should know. Byron and I are actually very similar. Maybe not with the throat tattoo. That's something that I don't have.
You can't get over that.
I mean, it just seems incredibly painful and shows, certainly speaks to his toughness. But we both have doubters. I had a lot of doubters before the race yesterday, and I proved victorious, you know, in a Pyrrhic way. And apparently Byron's got his doubters also.
Having doubters, you know, like I was, you know, I've been doubted, you know, all my life. So I feel like that's what started the dog mentality, you know, and my mentality when I'm out there on the field, you know, it just kills. Like, I don't, you know, whoever in front of me, like, I don't care who you is, you know, what they say about you, you know, I believe in, you know, you got to show me. So, you know, that's what I believe in, you know, that's what I preach, you know. And also, too, you know, part of my mindset is you won't stop me. You must show me. You must show me you can stop me. Even if you know what I'm doing on this play, you still got to show me. So, because I'm coming. Yeah.
We don't have time.
I'm coming hard every play.
We both have doubters. We've both been doubted all of our lives. So, I appreciate you, Byron. I'm right there with you, man.
Well, to be fair, on your end, I told you this yesterday, and I think it's part of the reason I thought I could beat you. The way you speak about yourself makes people think... Talk about like your 4-hour naps and levels of inactivity that made me think you were going to be much slower.
Well, inactivity is different from unathletic. Very big difference. And the inactivity got me.
Most people need to train for a race before they can. Yeah. Okay.
I just naturally fast. I've always have been. Just part of my game. What can I tell you? 866-979-3776. Let's get back to your calls. Adam's in SoCal. What's up, Adam? What do we think?
Hey, guys. I think there's a couple pieces to it. So we currently have, I think, two D tackles on the roster that are 30 or close to it, and both on one-year deals at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had a ton of luck signing D linemen in free agency in the past. So why not sign, you know, pick this guy up who's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get at that position in the first round and build around him for years to come. And then I think you mentioned being surprised by the pick a little bit. And I think the reason why so many people are surprised is because for so long, we've just been trading back or making weird first-round picks that everybody kind of shakes their heads at. So to have a normal pick in the first round feels different. And then I think, you know, long-term, you pair him with someone like Tone Nwosu and it becomes a big strength for years to come. And Mike McDonald really needed to I think, emphasize that he's a defense-first coach, and that's what this team's going to be about. So taking an O-lineman in the first round doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I appreciate the phone call. Thanks, Adam. That's well said and well thought out. I the one thing that I would certainly agree with, I was thinking about it last night, and in fact, I think we talked a little bit about it yesterday, is, you know, there are some guys, if you want a guard, you could get that in the fourth round. May not be perfect, but you can continue to try to look for a guy like that. So, and I personally have my heart set on Zach Zinter coming here, not just because of the high school connection, but because that's a guy that was going to be a first or second round pick that's now going to drop to the third or fourth round because of an injury. And if you got a chance to bring that in, great. Also, all of the offensive linemen, for the most part, that we talked about other than Fautano were gone. And I think it is a little telling that Troy slipped to number 20. As much as I love the kid and as much as I understand the perfect fit here in Seattle, there was a report just this week from Albert Breer that there's a medical concern long term about his knee. Mm-hmm. And if there is something that's going to warn you off in the last moment, it might be that. And let's be clear, the Seahawks know a lot of the same doctors that would have been at the University of Washington. Brock's mentioned that before. So if they were uninterested in Latu, that would have made sense. And if they knew a little bit more about his knee than somebody else did and decided, hey, if push comes to shove and we like both these players a lot, we're going to go with the guy whose medicals we feel better about. Yeah, I don't know that I can blame him for that.
It's a question probably for Brock. But if thinking from Byron Murphy, where he is on the talent spectrum and what the gap is between him and the next best guy versus where Fautano is, and the gap between him and the next best guy.
Yeah.
do you take the guy that has the bigger gap between them? Because you're going to have such a big drop-off for
maybe,
you to chance to do
although, it. You know, it's not like you're going to pick 10 picks later. So, like, you got to pick the guy that you just think is best and the best football player and the best fit for your team.
They said he was the best defensive player on their board. I don't think Fautano was probably the best offensive player
That's
on their board.
That's probably true. 866-979-3776. Let me try Steven in Seattle. Hi, Steven.
Hey, what's up? So I was really excited about the pick yesterday. We've all talked about how it's like the thing Seattle needed to do, and they don't typically do that. So it kind of took people by surprise. I started looking into it a little bit yesterday, too. And I guess this is more of an education thing. The thing that got me worried after the fact is he's graded at a 6.48, and it says will become a good starter within 2 years. Mm. If we're talking about this person who's going to be a starter this year, like we're expecting him to be a starter this year, all of his measurables say he was the top-rated DT, fourth in athleticism, second in production. Why is that such a low grading? And maybe I just don't understand the grading scale.
Well, I don't either, but I guess what I would, let me jump in because I understand some of the fear. And Brock's going to be in here in about 15 minutes, and this is going to be one of the first questions for him. Because if you go back to Brock's draft profile, he says, love everything about this guy except for the fact that he wasn't quite as productive and didn't jump off the page every time he saw him play at Texas. And I asked Brock flat out, would you take him at 16? He said, I wouldn't. So that is, I kind of want to know why, like, why doesn't the eye test kind of match everything else? And it doesn't necessarily have to. Maybe it's because of some of the guys around him. Maybe it's the system they ran. There's any number of reasons that can happen. But if there's one concern, yeah, I guess Brock brought that one up, and so I'll be a little concerned about it. But overall, I mean, I'm ecstatic today. You go get yourself a game wrecker up front. That's what you need. Nobody can change a game more than that. Let me go to Dan in Spokane. What's going on, Dan? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. First of all, Morris, sorry about the loss. My money was on you. Sorry, Brock. I just
wanted sorry, to... I laid down.
Anyway, the pick. The pick. I'm both excited and disappointed, to be honest with you. I think I had gotten so emotionally invested in the tackle from Washington, heard so much about him. And then you guys had such a great interview with him. And I thought, oh, man, he's going to be a guy to listen to for years to come.
Right.
So, I was so bought in on that, and then surprised. To be honest, I had forgotten that Murphy was even still on the board. He was like out of sight, out of mind. I'm thinking offense. And then the pick happened. I thought, okay, there's definitely an area neat. He's supposedly the best defensive guy on the board, so this is a great pick. So it took me a little while. It took me a little while, but I'm really excited about it now. It's like Christmas morning when you think you're getting a bike, and then you don't, and you think, Buzz, I need this other thing too, and it's kind of shiny, so I'm happy about that.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Dan. Yeah, you got skis instead of a bike. Who knew? I think that we all make the mistake, and I'm putting myself in this category. I'm not holding myself above anybody else. We can all make the mistake of getting too emotionally invested in players that we really don't know that much about.
Oh, sure.
And we're all getting our information for the most part secondhand or third hand, right? We're basing this off of a couple of games. Maybe we saw them play in college. None of us are scouts. We're trying to figure out what Mel Kiper, Dane Brugler, Matt Miller, Jordan Reed, et cetera, have to say about these guys. And Dan, you know, trying to determine based on where they think they'll go, whether or not there's good value. We're not GMs. And they can't afford to be emotionally invested like that. They need to divorce themselves from it and just take the player that they think is best. So I totally understand momentary disappointment because you've got your heart set on something. I feel that way as well. But I try to remember after the initial disappointment, just like the caller said, just like Steve said, that, okay, my emotions really don't matter, nor do anybody else's here. Like, yeah, so you had your heart set on someone? Why? Because you thought it would be, like, cool? Like, yeah, I think it'd be fun. I think Jared Verse looks like fun. I think a quarterback would have been awesome. If there's any disappointment I have, it's that, you know, six quarterbacks went and they didn't get one of them. That's a bummer because, you know, you got an opportunity maybe, and the fact that they were trying to trade up for Penix I think is pretty interesting, at least according to a report from James Palmer. But you got exactly what your coach is apparently best at doing. And that is playing defense with some game wreckers up front. And I will never complain about getting game wreckers up front on a defense, ever. Mm-hmm. I'll never complain about it. That's always a good idea. 866-979-3776. Let me try Michael in Spokane. What's up, Michael?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I really like the pick. I think it's showing that we are priority to getting in line where they need to be. If you look at the last five Super Bowl champions, what one thing they have in common? They got Chris Jones for the Chiefs, you got Aaron Donald, and they got Vita Vea and Sue for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got dominant defensive tackles. The line of scrimmage, especially the interior defensive line, is extremely important if you want to build a dominant defense or a good defense. And our first pick this year was probably one of the best, or arguably the best defensive player or defensive tackle. And our second pick is Leonard Williams. So that's showing that we are actually committed to building a line of scrimmage. I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. I think that's a great way of looking at it. What did you do with your first picks? D-tackle. That's a great way of looking at it. D-tackle. How do you win the NFL? Up front.
Right, that's
up front.
I was watching the NFL Network, and they were kind of decoding the way that Jim Harbaugh's always built all of his good teams. And I'm like, that's what you do.
Guys, the Seahawks were among the two or three worst teams in the league last year and the year before in stopping the run. They were terrible. They're terrible at it. If you can't stop the run, it doesn't matter how well you do everything else. Why do you think I was freaking out about the idea of them going out and drafting some stupid corner? Corner in the first round? You can't stop the run. You haven't stopped the run in years. Yes, you take a first-round pick who's a run-stopper ball of muscle. Yes. You use your second-round pick to get Leonard Williams. Yes. 100%. You haven't been able to stop the run in ages. You know how demoralizing it is when the other team is just gashing you for 5-6 yards every single play and you can't do anything about it? And that's before you dig into the fact that he can get after the passer and how disruptive he can be playing inside. This is what you needed to do. Are there other players that would have fit also? Yes. There are other players that also fit. But I don't know that any fit any better than Byron Murphy does here in Seattle. 866-979-3776. Grab one more. Brandon's in Phoenix. Brandon, what's up?
Morning. I like it. I love it. Just for all the reasons you just said. they finally addressed a need rather than picking a defensive back that makes no sense. They're trying to get better. So I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And it's funny, when we did this, we did calls, Wednesday or yesterday? We took all those calls yesterday.
Yeah.
Did anybody say Byron Murphy? I don't remember one call saying Byron Murphy. We got a lot of Faltano, bunch of Penix, right? So maybe there's a little UW thing
Cooper
here.
DeGenes.
There were some bizarre Cooper DeGenes, which were, you know, people that you should just really discount, I think, moving forward. First of all, I didn't even go in the first round, let alone at number 16, let alone taking a defensive back.
It's a Jared Verse.
There was a Jared Verse. I don't remember any Michael. There was a couple of Johnny Newtons. I don't remember anybody saying Byron Murphy. And maybe it's because we were all kind of under the impression that he wouldn't have been there, that he was going to go earlier than that. I think a lot of the mocks said that he would go before that. 14 straight offensive players was a little bizarre. There were some other options. If they had liked Dallas Turner, the kid out of Alabama, they could have gone in that direction. That would have been interesting. A lot of folks thought he was a top 10 pick. They could have gone with Verse. They could have gone with Faltano. So there's like three or four guys. And maybe if there was a deal on the table to trade back two or three spots, they would have taken it. But again, I'm going to just look at that Jacksonville deal and say no dice. If all you could get to go from 17 to 23 was this year's fifth rounder and a third and fourth next year, no thank you. No way would I have moved back six or seven spots for that draft haul. Nope. No way. No thanks. I'm really surprised that Minnesota didn't get killed for it. That's kind of a weak haul. I mean, yeah, they'll be psyched about it next year. Maybe they don't have as many comp picks as the Seahawks do in next year's draft, but that feels pretty weak to me, got to be honest. And I would not have made that deal if I were John Schneider. I would have been upset if they had made that deal. I wouldn't have felt like they got enough value back.
Yep.
So good on him.
I keep coming back to it, and you and Brock will get into this all day, I'm sure. But does it satisfy the first thing that Mike McDonald said? Knocking the crap out of the guy in front of you and then some.
Sure seems like it.
Yep, check.
Sure okay, seems
then
like
I'm happy.
It.
You right? did what you said you were going to do. Cool.
Yeah. And there were, again, other guys would have done that also. But he does it. and he was the guy that they liked best, I'm willing to trust that. 100%. All right, Brock's going to be in a moment. As I said, this was not the pick he said he would have made, but that doesn't mean he doesn't really like the player and really understand what the Seahawks were doing. Let's see what Brock has to say coming up next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.